Hi, and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. I'm Atik.
And I'm Nyla.
We're both professional registered homeopaths, and between us have over 25 years of professional practice in this field of healing.
The Homeopathy Health Show is the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcasts around the world, promoting and raising awareness of this truly unique system of healing and healthcare, which is suitable for all ages, young and old.
Every week, we invite guests from the world of homeopathy to come and share their experiences, their work, offer insights, and essentially talk all things homeopathy.
Visit www.ukhealthradio.com to listen now. To find out more about us, you can visit us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk. And whilst you are there, do subscribe to our newsletter.
Be inspired.
And join the conversation.
So let's begin today's show here on the UK Health Radio Network, the world's number one talk health radio.
Real feel-good radio.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. And I am Atik.
And I'm Nyla. Welcome, everyone.
Well, wow. Can you believe it? Ladies and gentlemen, February 2026. Yikes. It's been an absolutely incredible start to the year, has it not? And hey, the New Year resolutions have passed, haven't they? And my, oh my, what a busy start it's been. Nyla and I focus very much, let me rephrase actually, our New Year's resolution, which is actually a resolution for us every single day, is to ensure that we help fly the flag of homeopathy high as possible, so the world can see this flag and hear this voice. And hey, you never know, right? We may get to the moon one day, but let's not go down that rabbit hole, as they say, because you never know where that conversation is going to end, is it? No comment.
Yeah, I think let's stay here. Better. Let's stay here.
Yeah, let's stay firmly grounded.
Yeah, and give everyone Luna. Give everyone Luna instead of going to the Luna.
Oh my! I remember a few months back, actually, because I'm just so. I just love looking at the moon at night and taking pictures of the moon. And it's just so, so beautiful, you know, and takes me to lunar and back. But hey, anyhows, over to our guest, right? We have a wonderful, wonderful guest for you, as always, here on the Homeopathy Health Show, which is the world's number one radio talk show on homeopathy, just in case you didn't know. But hey, ladies and gentlemen, you do need to follow us on our socials, on our Facebook page, and on our Instagram. And you'll find all those details on all the podcast apps under the actual show description or episode description. Okay, so please do follow and do support this journey. And let's together fly this flag of homeopathy.
We have an amazing guest today with us, Shamini Singh Sachdev. She has more than 25 years of experience in integrative healthcare, and she has built a career dedicated to raising the standard of homeopathic education, clinical practice, and patient care. Originally from South Africa, her early fascination with natural medicine and the body's ability to heal set her on a lifelong path into integrative health. Today, she serves as chair of the Independent Homeopathy Association, IHA, where she's helping shape the future of professional homeopathy in the UK, advocating for credibility, collaboration, and a respected position for homeopathy within modern healthcare. And how important is that we have someone with us who is actually at the forefront shaping the future of professional homeopathy. Welcome, Shamini.
Welcome.
Well, thank you, Nyla and Atik. Thank you so much for the warm welcome and for the glowing introduction. Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here.
It's wonderful for us to connect, and we must actually thank Mary Wyatt from the Homeopathy Action Trust and from the Southern College of Homeopathy for, you know, connecting us. And it's just so very nice, isn't it, Nyla?
It's absolutely amazing. And before we go and talk about you, I think it's interesting, and it will be very important for our listeners to know what is IHA first, as you are a big part of IHA. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, absolutely. So the IHA, we are the Independent Homeopathic Association, and the role we play is to help support homeopathic education within the UK. We have member colleges that meet our core curriculum. And the sole purpose of that is to ensure that the homeopaths that are going to these accredited colleges receive a well-grounded, well-versed education in homeopathic philosophy, in principles, in the materia medica, in their clinical experience, so that once they leave the college, then they are enabled to be the best homeopathic practitioner that we ca that is available for people to go and treat. And our purpose is, and you know, there's work gone on in various forms, and the IHA as it is today, that is our representation. Our core ethos is raising the bar for homeopaths, maintaining a core curriculum for homeopathic education, and spreading that word, and so that you know we are increasing the homeopathic knowledge and the homeopaths out there.
Oh, wonderful.
That's wonderful. That's amazing, because I personally, as a homeopath now, how important it is to have sound grounding in homeopathic knowledge before you can actually become a practitioner. The philosophy that goes into it, the history, the organon, and everything that is, like, if your roots are not properly set, how are you going to become a flourishing fruiting tree? So this is really, really important for us to know that we go and study in a reputable college. But on the other hand, I think you mentioned patients. It is also very important for the general public to know to go to a homeopath who is an accredited homeopath, who has gone to a sound college and has done a degree, his studies according to the standards of IHA. I've gone to the website and I've seen your standards, and they're really, really good. And as we were talking before about the core curriculum and the flavor that you were talking about, that was really nice. If you can say something about that.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I mean, as I said, you know, when we were talking earlier, homeopathy is very diverse in itself, and we have various colleges that are accredited by us. I mean, you've mentioned the Southern College, you've got the Homeopathic College of East Anglia, the School of Homeopathy, you've got this, I mean, there's so many out there. You've got College of Practical Homeopathy and various others that are members of IHA. And like each person, you know, I like the analogy of if you look at your hand, you've got four fingers and a thumb. And while each and every single one of them serves a function, when we group together, we are stronger for it. And so with the IHA, our ethos has been, you know, we want to have a core curriculum. We want the basics done. But at the same time, you know, those standards that we are, which is equal to the national standards of education, we have criteria that ensures that that is met so that there's a sound grounding. But like each college, they're very diverse. They cater to their own flair. That diversity creates richness. So for us, you know, upholding those high professional standards, it ensures for the generation of homeopaths studying right now, and for those to come, that those standards are maintained, if not elevated, because we want to reach for excellence. You know, we talk about reaching for the stars, reaching for the moon. Homeopathy is such a vibrant career path. That's what's led me into it, you know. But I think as we look at that, it's so important for that recognition to occur. So me talking to here today and explaining what the IHA does, and if you go onto the website, anybody can look at it. You know, people wanting to study homeopathy to become homeopaths themselves, or people wanting to see where has my homeopathic studied. IHA is aiming for transparency. We want that solid recognition so that the future is brighter for homeopathy as a whole. And there's so much passion, you know, when I go and listen to other homeopaths talking and what brings them into homeopathy, it's that art of healing. And I think that's what we're trying to also put forward. We're here to create that diversity, to support the diversity, and be a collective voice for homeopathic education in the UK. That's really, you know, my kind of ethos of where the IHA is right now and where I'd like to take it even further.
Wonderful. It really is. And it's such a right time. You know, I think about the last sort of decade, and we know that homeopathy is progressive, and we know that the standards also progress accordingly. And as I mean, as a fact, isn't it, that homeopathy is the second largest system of healthcare or medicine on this planet. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, how I said that, on this planet, because we're going to go into space. But that's a different subject. That is a rabbit hole. But I do know that they are testing homeopathic remedies in space. So there you go. But anyway, let's come back. Firmly grounded again, okay? But it's really, really important, isn't it? Because it's not just all the things that you've mentioned and what Nyla's also mentioned, but the fact that by providing such a high professional standard, it's all about safety, it's all about caring, it's all about nurturing, it's all about, ensuring that people feel safe. You know, we talk about my safe space, we talk about meeting people, we talk about sharing our mental, emotional symptoms with somebody we don't know, but professional standards come in there and say, well, hang on, look, this individual, this homeopath, this group of homeopaths, they're registered, they have insurance, which we all need to have, of course, they've gone through a reputable college, they adhere to this, just like the Hippocratic Oath, they adhere to these professional standards. And it's so, so important, isn't it? It's so important.
Absolutely. I mean, it is. And, that is the ultimate aim, that we want to ensure that the patient that is seeing a homeopath, that they can see their homeopath in confidence, with the firm knowledge that their homeopath has had a sound education, a sound grounding. A lot of the colleges there have their alumni, so they have their networking where students can integrate and discuss. But also, when somebody studies homeopathy, I mean, I can speak for myself and my experience. Homeopathy is just not, the second largest system of medical care. It is also a deeply rooted experience in that when we look at people as homeopaths, we don't label them. We don't treat a condition. We're treating the whole patient, be that from the physical to the physical general, to the mental emotion, to the spiritual, to the cultural. You're looking at the whole person, and that itself is an art. You listen. People need to be heard. And if we look at what's happened in in the recent years, people are looking for that whole person solution, looking beyond what is being currently offered. And for me, that answer rests in homeopathy. So, in order to enable the patient to receive best care, safe care, effective care, homeopathy needs to have a kudos behind it. We need to understand that this is what we are offering, and that can only come from from a sound education, from a sound information source, so that ultimately the patient receives the best. And that really, I mean, Hahnemann said it himself. When we sit with the patient, when you're listening, it's not just listening, but it's actually listening, looking, and learning. And that skill set is unique to homeopaths. I mean, maybe we're all biased as homeopaths, but it's a different thing. And I've had it, I've sat in clinic sometimes and just listen to a patient, let them talk, let them reveal themselves, because a gesture can mean a thousand words. Even the way a person holds themselves, these things are the subtle languages that homeopaths understand. And I think now the way people are going, the subtleties are what the requirements are. So, as you said, patient care is priority. Standards will in good standards, high standard, excellent standards ensure that that care is of an excellent nature to the patient that's receiving it. And we can then heal, because ultimately that's what it is. It's the art of healing that we're talking about.
The station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I really liked what you said, that we are going to offer best care, safe care, effective care to our patients. And that's what we are thriving to do. That's what we are living to do. What whoever walks into our doors has to get the best that we can give them. Very beautifully said. And that's why we do need to have these regulating bodies who can not only regulate the education system, but then also can regulate the effective care and the standards that all the homeopaths are also doing their CPD. It's not just your homeopath and you are out there, do whatever you want. All the bodies are actually doing it. They are also providing the CPD courses to them, so they keep on relearning, they keep on integrating the new ideas, the new researches, etc., in their practice. And just thinking about this, as we have talked a lot about education, etc., but there is another question that comes to mind when we talk about education and we are talking to a homeopath. What brought you to the homeopathic education?
Ah, you've asked a million-dollar question.
The golden nugget.
The golden nugget.
Oh, there you
as
go.
So as you alluded to, and you mentioned earlier, so I grew up in South Africa, and coming from a very culturally diverse country, you know, very traditional medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, all of these things were what we grew up with. And South Africa has a very vibrant history. I'm just going to leave it at that. But I was always interested in how the body heals. I mean, if I look at the trajectory that I had when I was younger, it was always going to go into some sort of medical field. But for me, growing up, I wanted something more natural. You know, I thought there has to be something beyond, you know, a pill for every ill. You know, there has to be something more than that. And so my own journey started off, you know, I went to see a homeopath and I was fascinated by it. And so I thought, well, really, these little tiny white balls are going to treat my, you know, whatever was going on with me at the time. And, you know, when I finished school, it was the year Nelson Mandela came out of prison, and there was huge changes happening. And, you know, for me, that kind of transition resulted in things. And so my mother actually took me to see a homeopath. And there are so many random questions. I mean, the consultation went on for a long time. And I think by the end of it, I know now, the homeopath was trying to get to the core, the root cause of my disease, as we say. Mm-hmm. And I found it fascinating. And so I started my journey into homeopathy. And in South Africa, it's quite different in that it's a 5-year full-time course, very medical, very clinical, and then you do your research. So it's quite intense. And, you know, when you go into the field, it's actually quite inspirational to get that kind of rigorous training and expertise. And when I left, homeopathy has allowed me to travel the world. I've been, you know, as a homeopath in India, and then I finally relocated to the UK. And it was just, in clinic, when you sit with people and you see the transformation, you know, the joy it brings to them, you know, a return to self. And I feel like I'm talking homeopathic language here now. Rubrics is coming out. But it's that journey of giving people and back to themselves, treating that, oh, you know, I've never been well since. And when you see how the patient interaction happens, it's magic. And truly, that's been what has inspired me time and time again. You know, I'm sure you have both seen it as well or heard it, that people come in saying, I've been everywhere, I've tried everything. And now finally somebody said, go and see this lady. Don't exactly know how it all works, but go and see. And then they come, and then slowly but surely you start chipping away, you start working with them. And for me, it's the way I live my life now. You know, I really, time and time again, even in the darkest moments when people think, okay, you know, nothing's going to help us, you find that little nugget and it allows you to work with them. And every single patient coming through the door, like, you know, we were talking about education, about books. I feel like even though I've been doing this for such a long time, I learn something when a patient walks into the door. It kind of gives me a challenge to go, well, what else can I do? How can I refine my skills? What more can I do to be a better homeopath so that the person sitting in front of me gets the absolute best, you know? And sometimes, you know, you can't succeed. And that's where the collaboration with your networks, the collaboration with your college, speaking to people like yourselves, you know, aiming for the stars, if you like. Not to say everybody has to do that, but it inspires you. And that's what I find, you know, critical for me, is that seeking to do better. And I feel that there's so much out there that we can do, but it's also helping people find where can they find their ways. Like we spoke about institutions, but we also have regulatory bodies as memberships, like the Society of Homeopathy. We've got the Alliance of Registered Homeopaths. These are registration bodies for homeopaths, for students that have qualified from accredited colleges, and they provide literature journals out there. So people, again, if they want to seek homeopathic treatment, they can look at it. So if you look full circle, it is a circle of healing, and that's the way I like to think about it. We are the instruments of that healing, and we can heal and treat people in the most effective, natural way to bring them back to themselves and then help optimize their health. You know, the patient care is central to everything. And I think in a small way, in a very gentle way, that's how homeopathy is, you know, quite a beautiful way of treating.
Oh, beautiful.
I'd like to pick up on what you said. Hang on. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, homeopathy house show. Okay, two hosts. I have to ask ladies first with the greatest, utmost respect. Were you going to chip in there or can I go?
I was about to. I just had a comment to make that.
Okay. Well, that was not a blooper moment then, okay? I all rights reserved. I will sit back in my chair and let you do the talking, Naila.
She mentioned patient care. I had written quite a few things that I wanted to say, but patient care, if we go back to IHA, if we go back to homeopathic colleges, if we go to the bodies, the societies, patient care is at the center of us. We don't worry about finances, we don't worry about the time, we don't worry about that more Monday evening, Sunday afternoon. Patient care is at the center of everything, and that makes homeopathy the joy that we want to work with. And this reminds me of the banter that we had in our college. How do we prove homeopathy works? Homeopathy. And then we came up with one sentence that we are going to say to everyone who asks, what is homeopathy? We started saying, homeopathy is a profession that we love to do. And I have to meet any single homeopath who says, I don't like my work.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it is. It's a, you know, it's a lifestyle. There's no other way of doing it. There's no switch off button. You know, it's, I love it when, you know, when we travel or when we go somewhere, I like people watching. I like to sit there, watch the people go by and think, oh yes. I mean, it's very general, but it's like, oh, I think I know what that person needs, because it's something that becomes your nature. You're very intuitive with it. And, you know, with that intuition, it's that ability that I think puts, dare I say, puts homeopaths actually in the front line of, working with people, and it's a personable art because there's so many challenges today of people receiving care. You know, we hear it all the time, traditional medicine, and you know how things are difficult for patients. But when a person sits with you, whether it's an acute case, you know, whether they want 5, 10 minutes of your time, in that time, you know, you give your all. And I think this is where that patient care is central, Nyla, like you are saying. And you know, how many times have you seen it? You're in the shopping aisle, or you just popped out to get some groceries, and then you see something, they go, "Oh, can I ask you a question?" And then 20 minutes later, that doesn't become a shopping a moment. But it is, it's very important. And all jokes aside, I think people are also becoming more discerning with what they expect from treatment. And so if people are becoming more discerning, more critical about their practitioner, and they absolutely should be, then you know, these courses that are recognized, these schools, they are the place to go and seek your knowledge, seek education if you want, and then refer to the governing bodies or the associations that have qualified members. Because you know, we were talking about this earlier, there's crops of short courses, let's just say, that are propping up here and there, and it's like a churning engine of so-called homeopaths that are doing these short courses that don't go to these corp the criteria. And then unfortunately, it does create a shadow on such a beautiful profession. So it is the aim, if we can, you know, solidarity and unity in the profession is what's going to make this happen. Help us turn the wheel to ensure that communication goes out to people that seek. Make sure your homeopath is well qualified. Make sure they are registered, that they are insured, that they have a proper license to practice. Because then it gives the patient safety, and also it makes you feel secure that when you're sitting in your safe space, as Atiq said, that is a genuine safe space with somebody that actually is, you're investing in your health. So you should invest in your inquiry as well, is what I think.
I'd like to just take that a bit deeper with what you've said and following on from what Nyla's question was as such. And I used the word nurture earlier on. It's interesting because when you have studied for a recognized number of years on a course and you've had clinical practice and you've seen firsthand different teachers in person face to face and you've done provings and whatnot, you know, just like for example they do at the School of Homeopathy. And Nyla knows this very well, of course, anyway, having studied there after having studied in Germany. So it's interesting because homeopathy, somebody said recently on one of the episodes that homeopathy is also a way of life. And that's very, very true. So I'd like to take it that way because we're not just building or educating or facilitating future practitioners, but individuals who know how to deal with different types of trauma. Let's face it, sometimes it's not about homeopathy at all if you're a homeopath. It's about sitting down and talking to somebody and having a conversation. And that can dispel so many issues. Sometimes it's all about an emergency situation, be it at home or wherever one may be. But that's the time when the real training comes into. It's not the Arnica Brioni moment. It's the moment of, I know homeopathy can help, so let me remain calm and let me go for the symptoms rather than panic and pick up the phone and dial whatever, you know, and or just panic, you know, and run, what do I do? What do I do? It's brilliant, isn't it? It's just almost like saying it's the next level of being a first aider in the sense of, I mean, not literally being a first aider to provide urgent medical attention. I mean, in the sense of, let's be calm, let's assess the situation, and then look at how we can assist. Homeopathy, talking, both. And that builds you into an individual that can actually add value. It's not just about knowing your remedies or your materia medica, it's about who we develop into as human beings. We empathize, we can feel somebody's pain. And that's very interesting, isn't it? Because that's what a homeopath is not just a prescriber. You know, a homeopath is an individual who has all these facets or abilities, which they obviously progress through as they mature, that they know how to deal with situations. And I think that's, you know, that's so, so important. It's so key.
Absolutely. It is. You look at. I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, you've said it really well. It's not just sitting there looking at a label or thinking, well, okay, I'm going to give this because this is what happened. You look beyond, you can't help it. You know, with the trainings, with the rigorous trainings that homeopathic students receive, you know, the courses are so rich. You talk about the psychology of the remedy, about the heat, you know, the non-verbal language, you know, just even sitting in a room. And if we bring it down to children or, you know, people where sometimes language, whether you're speaking, you know, German, Afrikaans, Dutch, English, Hindi, Gujarati, Punjabi, whatever it is, you go beyond the language into the observation of it. And then that is truly that healing happens. You know, when you go, and I remember as a student, when we used to student clinic, everybody's rushing to get into the observation room and what listen to the patient. And one person will be looking at, you know, are there any movements going on? Is there any facial expression going on? How is the person dressed? The little tactiles, like, you know, the first meet and greet, all of these things, you know, when you go through this and you've been practicing for a while, it is your nature. I cannot help it when I'm out and about. I just think, you know, it's just like, and I have to say to myself, actually switch off. You know, you don't need to be on, you know, as a homeopath. You know, you're looking through those homeopathic eyes. Because if we go back to what we said at the very beginning, perhaps, it's a passion. It's a nurturing. It's you want people to flourish, whatever shape, way, or form that takes for them. That is homeopathy for you. And that simple conversation, you know, sometimes you just hold a patient's hand and, you know, the tears just come out because maybe that person has never received a healing touch or someone that said, look, let's just come and have a chat. Let's just talk about you. Those words are very empowering. You know, it's not like a factory, if you like, of in and out, churn, churn, churn. And, you know, that gratification, that means a lot. When you can see somebody actually feel relaxed enough to open up. And sometimes it might take time to get there, but when you do, that is the gold dust of homeopathy, I think. That really, and it makes you smile. It makes me, you know, it makes you feel happy that you have been the instrument of change for that person.
You know, my last one before Nyla, but I think for me, I was just pondering literally as you were speaking. One of the greatest gifts that homeopathy has given me is the ability to observe, because I find that observation, trust me, it saved me from so many arguments and so many dangerous situations and even happy situations. Because when you observe, you know, they say you can, what's the word? You can cut the air with a knife in a room when there's tension, right? There's this phrase, you can cut the air with a knife, which means we can feel when the room is tense, right? You just walk in and you know something's not right. How do you explain that, right? So, and you know, Wi-Fi and homeopathy doesn't work, yada yada yada, right? So let's not go there. But anyway, another rabbit hole, ladies and gentlemen. That's the third one for today. What do you think about that? Anyway, so the art of observation is so key, because it really, really helps. And homeopaths build this up over time with consultations, by talking to their colleagues, by ensuring professional standards actually do come into this, because it's all part of education and teaching and sorry, at training and learning. And it's so important because it molds us as individuals, and it helps us because we can then adapt. If we say lycopodium is this constitution, if we say Nux vomica is that constitution, and if we observe and we know that, then we mold ourselves to that picture so that we can actually engage. Anyway, over to you.
The station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
This is actually very, very important what you both mentioned, and that takes me to another thing, the art of observation. But there is another art, the art of listening. I have learned so much from it. It's sometimes when we are sitting in a group, everyone is talking, and then we just step back and we just listen to the rhythms, we listen to the conversation. What is actually making this person agitated, or what is making this person actually go happy? What, this was just a normal comment, why did they giggle so much about it? Or when they're talking and a silent cough comes, okay, there was no cough, and on this topic they started coughing. This is also something, again, it's not easy, and you know this, Dig knows this, sitting here in a chair and then listening with compassion, that we want to help them for an hour, 1.5 hours. We are listening. We are there to engage with you, listen to whatever you have to offer. It's an art that we have to master, and that doesn't happen overnight. We do, I remember from my training, we had to sit into the student clinics, taking notes and then discussing, okay. And then we were discussing, oh, she picked up on this, I didn't. Or I picked up on this, why did not anyone else pick up on this? This is what a proper training gives us, teaches us. Have to, like 100 to 300 clinical hours are really, really important in homeopathic studies, because again, the art of observation, the art of listening cannot happen in just 10 hours, 50 hours, or just by sitting there for some time and not doing it yourself. And then the homeopathic colleges, like my college, they told us to start seeing patients, be in supervised practice whilst we are training, so that we have all the support from the tutors, from the supervisor, when we are starting to practice. It's just not that a patient will come in with a complaint and we will be struggling with remedies. Sometimes a patient will walk in and they will talk about something that the trauma will connect with your trauma. And you might need help and support, and you have to compose yourself at that time and then go back to your tutor, supervisor, and ask, how can we support ourselves? It's not just, okay, listening to the patient giving a remedy, There's so much more involved in homeopathy and homeopathic education, because we know they come to us in a vulnerable condition when they have no hopes left, and with the autoimmune conditions on the rise and immunosuppressants are given left, right, and forward. We have a lot of work to do now with all the suppressive diseases, and we need to take care of ourselves as well at that time. And that is where the role of all the societies come in, and all of the training, the tutors, the mentors that we had from our colleges that come in. Sorry, I go on another long discussion there, but it is so important because I have lived that experience. I've had been through that experience, and I know how important it is for us all.
Absolutely. And I'm going to touch on something because it is, when you speak to homeopaths, and when, I lecture at a few colleges as well, and I do the anatomy, physiology, pathology, the medical sciences, and people normally say, oh my goodness, why do I have to learn this? And end of the day, as homeopaths, we are working with a human body. We need to have a good understanding of it. We're not expecting you to be a diagnostician. If you want to go ahead, no one's stopping you, reach for that. But you've got to understand the dynamics. The human body is an incredible, incredible being, and whether you look at it from a cosmic point of view, whether you look at it from a functional point of view, from an energetic point of view, it's incredible. And one of the things that, students come up and say, they'll say, Dr. Singh or Shamini, I prefer to be called Shamini because it's a bit of a mouthful. They say to me, well, what do you think in as a homeopath? What's been the things that make you feel that you've achieved something? And I say each and every day is an achievement for me. I'm actually the happiest when I'm in a full clinic because I get people coming in, as you said, Naila, they come in very vulnerable, they're confused, they might be very angry, they might be, very skeptical. Each and every one can come in a diverse way. But essentially, they're coming to you, and you've attracted those patients towards you. You've kind of made that happen yourself. And when you sit with people and you unravel them, if you like, if you can get there with them, it charges you up as a person. It makes me feel like, wow, I feel alive. Who cares if I've been working for the last how many hours? I actually feel like I've achieved something in those patients. And so when students ask us questions, I say, as a homeopath, you have to reflect on who are you as a person, because who you are as a person and who you are as a homeopath is actually the same thing. And then they'll say, well, why are you saying that? Because homeopathy is a career. And I say, no, it's not a career, it's a lifestyle, it's a way of being. And when you go through these years and years of homeopathy, you learn about yourself. If you've got a sensitivity because maybe you have a trauma or something's happened to trigger you, and we've been through so much in the recent years, so much of grief, so much of mental anguish because of what was going on. And maybe, that molds you and remolds you into something else. You've evolved. And that's the thing. Homeopathy, I think, as well, is an evolution of the person. You start off somewhere and you go somewhere else. And, I'll challenge anyone to tell me another healing art that can bring that out. Homeopathy is quite unique and very diverse because there's such a richness. If you look at how we get our materia medica, whether it's a plant, mineral, animal, chemical, environmental, that itself, we're living in a world right now where people want quick fixes, people want immediate relief, perhaps. But when you really want to dig deep, dig deep within yourself, dig deep within your patient, then true healing happens. And it requires that bravery, I would say, courage to take on those, but also courage within yourself to accept it with absolute humility that I am learning the journey with the patient. It's not a prediction. I am on a journey learning with this patient to help them. And that trust develops, that relationship develops. You get intimate knowledge of your patient, and that helps them. And it's a lot of that development and trust. And I think when you take on that responsibility, you yourself as a homeopath need to go and seek treatment, whether it's through your supervision, mentorship, your own homeopathic journey. But we're constantly evolving. And the height of evolution is to be the best that you can be, whichever way you look at it, not as a competition, but so that you get your own inner peace. And as Hanuman said, the vital force is wanting to go into homeostasis, into balance. And when you reach that true harmony of healing, that itself is a complete cure. So, some of us are not blessed to get there. Some of us may be, but it starts with the basics, the core. If your core is rich, the future is bright.
Yeah, that reminds me of the advert. If you drink a can of Tango, you've been tangoed, isn't it? The future's bright. But anyway, hey, Because tango's orange, okay? So they just oh, anyway, yeah, forget that. Let's move on.
I'm getting some insight into your personality, and it's quite fascinating, Elaine.
Yeah,
So many
it's just
conversations.
weird, isn't it? Hey, it's my mind works in mysterious ways, which even I have no idea about, and that's when I have to ask Nyla, can you help me? Because I don't know where
Bring it back.
I am. Come back, come back. Okay, so what was I going to say? Hey, homeopathy, the summit of healthcare evolution. But anyway, I was just saying we're actually coming up to the end of this episode. It's been absolutely fantastic to have you on, and hey, do share, Dr. Sharmini, with us and our listeners about the plans for the IHA for this year.
So we're at a very strong position. I've recently come on board as the chair of IHA. So I took over from Joe Ketterman, who was the previous chair. And we're in a very, very strong position. We have a team of homeopaths that are the panel members. And our vision right now is, we've reached a point of where, as you've seen on our website, we've shared a lot of information about what we've achieved, our core curriculum. We want more colleges that are not members and wish to be members to come on board, have a discussion with us. We have an open door policy. We want to reach that purpose where everybody's singing from this, well, I get told off for this, not the same hymn sheet, but from a core hymn sheet, so that we can educate more. Because to your point earlier, more people are seeking homeopathic treatment, more people are coming on board. So for us, the aim is how can we reach institutes, colleges, schools that are teaching and let them know that, we are here to support you. We want to collaborate. We want to understand. We want to see what the richness has so that we can have this standard that we're aiming for. We're also wanting to talk more to people. We want to put the public in the position of information and knowledge so that they can seek proper care. And that kind of dovetailing of good education, good support from the membership bodies, and then the public actually promoting and talking about how beautiful homeopathy is. That's kind of like where I see us developing. And in this year, we're wanting to grow that. So to collaborate more with people, to understand how can we bring homeopathy out more? The team and I have been working on more social media, so hence I'm, having this wonderful podcast with you. But also I would encourage people to come onto our website, look at our social media, our social platforms, and engage with us. Because quite honestly, if we don't know, we can't help. I believe if you want to affect a change, you need to know what it is that's going on. What then is the purpose to go forward? Because ultimately, for me, the passion is homeopathy. Whichever way you look at it, how do we fly the flag of homeopathy and fly it high and proud? And here, for homeopaths that are listening, that have questions and queries, contact me. Get in touch, have a discussion point so that ultimately homeopathy is the winner. That really is my purpose. Working with integrity, working with transparency, creating that trusted, safe environment for both homeopaths, patients is where I would like us to see. And we can chat again at some point and see how we're getting along. But it's a rich field, and that's how I'm looking at things in a very optimistic manner for the year ahead.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant that you're on board, and congratulations on that as well. And hey, we're behind you 100%,
Thank you.
from the world's largest homeopathy radio talk show. Okay, the world's number one. So anyway,
With
that was a plug,
the
wasn't it? But we can do
tangerine.
that because this is the Homeopathy Health Show.
With
It's
the
our
tangerine,
show,
isn't it?
hey,
With the tangerine.
with the
Tangerine.
tangerine. Yeah, tangerine is, yeah, that's actually quite nice, isn't it? I could do with one of them, and a bit of melon
I
and
think on a day
mango.
like this, we can have some, right? February tends to be the darkest, some of the darkest, longest nights. So
Oh my
anything
God,
sunny, golden
yeah,
is
oh my God, I
amazing.
got water in my mouth. Salivation, ailments from Merc-Sol, wasn't it? Anyway, let's not go there. But anyway, here's
I'm thinking phosphorus, sending you phosphoric acid at the moment.
pomegranate. Oh my God, I'll need a bucket after this salivation episode. Anyway, yeah, Nyla, try and end it now. Hey?
It was amazing connecting with you, Shamini. We had a wonderful episode because we are all about homeopathy, homeopathic education. It has to be regulated. It has to be the best form of education for the best homeopaths out there so that we can have proper patient care. We can serve our patients in the best possible way. Everything has to be best if we are homeopaths.
Yes, absolutely. And look, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm chuffed to bits. I was so excited to come on board and share with your listeners, fly the flag of IHA of homeopathy. It's been a real pleasure. And thank you so much for having me. It's been a lovely chat. So, onwards and upwards, as I say.
Yes, onwards and
It's been
upwards with
brilliant.
homeopathy. Thank you. And we'd love to have you again. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Look forward to collaboration as well. Let's work together as homeopaths, Let's do that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
I do hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. Tune in every week for inspiring conversations, bringing you all things health and well-being to your radio and podcast apps.
The more exposure the Homeopathy Health Show receives, the better for homeopathy around the world.
And please do support the show by clicking follow on our socials.
You can find us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk and on Facebook and Instagram at Homeopathy in Practice. Do give us a follow on there. Let's promote the voice of homeopathy around the world together. Until next time, stay safe and take care.